Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about one special secret.
Oh.
Because tonight I want to learn all. In your garden.
You are inside Honey Soul Radio. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride as we add some honey to your flavor and sweeten your erotic senses. Honey Soul Radio, welcome.
Welcome to the sweetest show
on Internet Radio, Honey Soul Radio. I am your hostess, sexual empowerment coach, and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva. I am usually joined by my co-host, love coach and sexpert, Miss Lady T, but she's out for the evening. She may be coming in a little later, but we send her love and light just as well. Yes, we opened up the show with a little LTD back in love again. I don't know about y'all, but I got this thing for love that I just can't shake. I just love me some love. My son calls me old sucker for love. He said, Mama, you're just an old sucker for love. And I'm going to just continue to be a sucker for love because I just want my love life to shine. I want to vibrate love and stimulate all those good feelings and those emotions. And most of all, I want to reach, you know, my divinity in that space. So this evening, we had a very, very special show. In this episode of Honey Soul Radio, he will ask questions such as, what is divine lovemaking? Does it begin before the bedroom? What does good mental, emotional, and spiritual health have to do with good sex? Well, by the tone and the information and knowledge of our very special guest, it has a whole lot to do with our sacred connection to sexuality. Now, our guest is Dr. Akua Gray, and she will give us divine solutions to these questions as we explore our divine connection to sexual energy, spiritual manifestation, melanin content, sexual meditation and ascension, sexual reflexology, and most definitely sexual healing. We also will discuss her newest book, Holistic Sexuality. Now, Dr. Akua is a naturopath, spiritualist, and master teacher. She is the International Operations Director for a Life of Peace and Wellness Institute, Incorporated, an international holistic health, education, and wellness nonprofit organization. She is the author of numerous books, including Veggie Delights, Recipes for Our Holistic Health, Eating Live for Maximum Nutrition, and Wellness, Akwaba, Dr. Akua's Guyana Vegan Cuisine, Today, Wellness Manifestation, and her newest baby, her creation, her birth, Holistic Sexuality. Now, Dr. Akua has shared the gifts of her works with the international community, so she's been in this a while, over 20 years, an outstanding educator. Dr. Akua holds degrees and certifications in naturopathy, education, telecommunications, metaphysics, hypnotherapy, iridology, Reiki, shiatsu, colon hydrotherapy, and African nutritional science. Now, you can learn more about this dynamic sister, this beautiful woman, Dr. Akua, at www.drakuagray.com. So we would like to welcome our very special guest, Dr. Akua Gray. How are you doing, Dr. Akua?
Peace. I'm well. Thank you very much for that introduction, Sister Tracy. Beautiful.
Yes, you are so welcome. I would just like to say I'm so honored to have you on the show. We were trying to get you on sometime last year, but it was your best intent to come on when you had finished your dynamic book, Holistic Sexuality. I haven't gotten a chance to receive it before the show. However, you can best believe when I hang up with you this evening, I'm going to purchase my book.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And we're also going to be able to tell the listeners how to go about purchasing that book as well. So, Dr. Akua, first thing I want to ask, divine lovemaking or hot sex, there is a difference. I want to discuss that. First off, I want to get right into that because many people have it, they believe hot, steamy, passionate sex is divine lovemaking. However, divine lovemaking can be hot, steamy, passionate sex. So I want to go in and speak a little bit about the difference and how do we know the difference and how can we even experience the difference.
Oh, that's a very good question to start with. Divine lovemaking from a holistic point of view. Divine lovemaking only happens when two people are in complete balance with all of the aspects of who they are. They have a balance in their emotional selves. They have a balance in their spiritual selves. They have a balance in their physical selves. And they have a balance in their mental selves. Now, if two people are not on that level of balance with each other, with nature, with the Creator, with their divine selves, then there is no divine lovemaking.
Okay.
It's just plain and simple. Right. It's just plain and simple like that.
Okay,
because
so there
we have
needs to
so
be an
many
infusion.
People.
There needs to be an infusion
right.
of body, mind, and spirit one to another. And do they need to be on the same frequency? Can one be on a higher frequency than the other? How does that work?
Has to be in balance. So when we say balance, now when we talk about relationships in general, with two people coming together, they are coming together for purpose. Now, 9 times out of 10, the way that people operate in a state of sexual dysfunctionality and relationship dysfunctionality nowadays, and has been for a long time, you know, we've been dealing with dysfunctional relationships ever since we can remember, but even today it's being perpetuated to society in such a way that it has become the norm, this dysfunctionality
yes.
in relationship.
Yes.
So when you have two people to come together and they are not aware of their purposes in life, you're going to have problems. If you have two people come together and they are not giving their own selves unconditional love, then they're going to have a problem in the relationship. If you have
yes.
two people, if you have two people to come together and they are riding on the emotion or riding on the physical aspect of their coming together, there's going to be problems. So when you talk about divine lovemaking, it can only happen when there is a balance in all of those things that make you whole.
Okay. Now, I have a question, and it's on a personal level as well. I'm sure that some of the listeners may, you know, be able to relate to this. I have been working on my own balance in my own life, in my own health, in my own healing. So with that, I haven't felt it or deemed it even appropriate yet to even give myself in that capacity because I am, you know, I do desire to be in balance as well as my lover be in balance and we be on that frequency together. Now, I know a few sisters who are feeling the same way. So we have to wait, you know, a little longer and continue to love ourselves enough to know that it's okay. You know, that, you know, it doesn't necessarily validate us, even though this is something that we do desire. However, being in balance does, it's a prerequisite that we have our divine partner, you know, that we do have our divine lover. So many of us who are working on ourselves and working on healing ourselves and doing what's required, you know, are trying to find that balance or in need of that balance, but however, because, you know, some of our brothers may not be on that level, we're still in solitude, I would say. I don't want to say alone because that sounds desperate. So, you know, in solitude. So with that, how can we make, you know, draw that to us? How can we make that something that could be part of our healing process, getting that energy, that balance, that masculine energy, you know, to balance our femininity? What are some things that we can do and still stay within our divinity?
Okay, and that too is a very good question, and you kind of hit the nail on the nose, as they say. When you begin to work on yourself, that is the best thing that you can do, because in this state of dysfunctionality that people have a tendency to be existing in, when it comes to relationships overall. We say in holistic sexuality that you attract what you are.
Okay.
So if you know that you are dealing with certain idiosyncrasies, certain things that you don't have together, you're still a person is eating all kinds of ways and, you know, still dealing in social vices like drinking and smoking and not really taking care of their bodies. They have bouts of jealousy and possessiveness, and it kind of makes them crazy.
Uh-huh.
Those kinds of things that are happening that makes relationships difficult. Well, if a person knows that they are still dealing with those types of things, and they take on the emotional, mental, and spiritual responsibility of another person, then more than likely, whatever kind of dysfunctionalities they have and whatever idiosyncrasies they're still dealing with, that person standing on the other side of them saying, I love you, is also projecting those same types of dysfunctionalities.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have a tendency to take the word love as an emotion, and it's not. You know, what we understand love to be in holistic sexuality is and energy. And so to answer your question, I do get that question quite a bit from sisters and brothers that are
uh-huh.
working on themselves, and they feel like, man, you know, if I'm raising myself to this high level of consciousness, you know, and all of the women that I meet, you know, the brothers say all of the women that I meet, you know, they're still vibing in that low level of consciousness, and it seems like every time I get with somebody, I got to teach them, you know, and I got to, you know, hold their hand, and it's like having a child and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Well, I say don't settle for less than what you know you really want.
That's it.
One of the activities that I have in the Holistic Sexuality book is where you take a holistic sex test, okay? And in the holistic sex test, you have a list of 20 different questions. And in those 20 questions, depending on how you answer them, and of course they should be answered with complete honesty, depending on how a person answers them will let them know what their level of sexual maturity is.
Okay.
And a lot of people say, you know, how can you measure that? Well, it just depends on what vibration you're operating on, what level of consciousness, what spiritual awareness you're working with. And when I recently gave this test to a group of people, and they came up with their percentage scores, and we talked about being in a mental state of sexual maturity or a spiritual state of sexual maturity or an emotional state of sexual maturity, once they took the test, they realized, you know what, I got some problems.
Yeah. Yes.
And I am not as mature as I think I am when it comes to my sexual behavior.
Okay.
Okay. And mm-hmm. as you know, most of the problems that people encounter in relationships, really in the world, always winds up coming back to either money or sex. When you have relationships that, you know, the boyfriend is jealous or the girlfriend is jealous, and it's, you know, just chaos and confusion and arguing and all of those kinds of things, it usually has to do with what somebody is doing with their own sexual nature. And
okay.
so in holistic sexuality, people are taught to appreciate who they are as an individual first, Because if you don't have your own self together, then it's nothing that you're going to be able to give somebody except for what you have. So if you crazy and jealous, that's what you have to give somebody. If you are whole and seeking peace and balance, then that is what you have to give somebody. So, you know, a lot of people will make these lists, okay, and that is one thing that I recommend, too, that a person makes a list of what they want their ideal mate to be, okay, and it can be a list of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 things, whatever. But after they make that list, then we sit down and we look at what is it on this list that you are. Now, a lot of women on their list, they talk about, you know, someone who is financially secure, someone who is respectful and, you know, good with children or something like that, right? But if you have on your list someone who is financially secure and you are not financially secure, then who are you going to attract?
Mm-hmm. You're going to be dependent.
That exactly.
Yeah.
So you can't ask and expect something you are not, because energy attracts energy. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And people operate on many different vibrations. And when they decide, when people decide that they want to make a change, then their vibrational attractions will change as well. So I say to those sisters and those brothers that are vibrating on those higher levels of consciousness, is somebody out there for everybody? And sometimes it's some two somebodies out there for everybody, okay?
Come on now.
Because in holistic sexuality, what we do is we give honor to all of the family structures.
Yes.
So if a couple chooses monogamy, we honor that. If a family chooses polygamy, we honor that. If a family chooses polyamory, we honor that. If a family chooses polyandry, we also honor that. Because the point of it is to get out of that sexual dysfunctionality so our children can stop being crazy.
Right.
So that our children can operate in this world in a level where they are secure and they have no fear about the naturalness that the Creator created in them, in their sexual nature. So we also have a chapter on the next generation and how we should be teaching our children about sex when it comes to holistic sexuality.
Okay. That's beautiful. I'm glad that you said that you have a chapter on how to teach the children about holistic sexuality, because it goes right into my next question, which is we have a divine connection to sexual energy. It is natural. It is innate. It is a part of our spiritual connection. You know, everyone, that's how we travel, through sexual dissension, through sexual activity. That's the engine, you know. So with that, and that divine connection, that inherited birthright, how important, I want the listeners to understand, now I'm not even speaking on sex with another person. I'm speaking on sexuality as in within yourself. So, Dr. Akua, how important is it for you to identify and recognize holistic sexuality as part of your own personal freedom?
Okay, now you're throwing tough ones at me.
I'm leaving you.
Okay. You know,
Dr. Akua, let me say that the reason I said that is because when people think sexuality, they automatically think sex. They think one, you know, two people having sex. Okay, holistic sexuality, this divine connection with another person, and our own sexuality, and where we stand in that before we can even connect with someone else. And you pretty much said that earlier. So
it's a very
innate part of who we are as people. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Okay, so this is how I would answer that, and I'd have to say that that's a very good thought-provoking question, that one is. Now, to answer your question, just based on what it is that you're saying, I would say that a person has to pay attention to the things that they are attracted to the people that they are attracted mm-hmm. to. And what this goes, this lends itself to being able to not be afraid of your sexual nature, okay? Because we are taught in our families, through religion, through society and things like that, to be afraid of our sexual nature, because, you know, religions sometimes they teach that sex is bad, it's no good, it keeps you from your spiritual self. And so most people walk around in fear of mm-hmm. what they naturally feel when it comes to their sexuality. So I'll give you an example. There was let me reserve that example. I'll come back to it. But
okay.
when we think about our sexual nature, again, I said you have to be conscious of what it is that you are attracted to, okay? And what I mean by that, society perpetuates to us in its laws that we must be a monogamous people, okay? It's one man for one woman. Because legally in the society that we live in, it is just, it is based on one man, one woman marriage, and it is considered illegal in the majority of this country for a woman to have more than one husband or a husband to have more than one wife legally, right?
Yes.
However, when I surveyed many different people for this book, when I was doing my research on holistic sexuality, I surveyed people who were in, quote-unquote, monogamous relationships, right?
Yes.
And what I found is about 85%, I can even make it 89%, close to 90% of those couples who claimed to be monogamous
mm-hmm.
at one point in their relationship or another, they had what we would consider extramarital relationships.
Yes.
Okay. That is an untruth for somebody in that relationship. So in other words, they decided that, okay, since I have to go by these laws of what my religion says, these laws of what, you know, man says, you know, I know that I'm with a crazy, jealous woman and she's not going to understand this, then that's where we get the cheating and the sneaking and the hiding and all of those kinds of things. And that's not being true to who you are sexually in terms of your own sexual nature, okay? So when you have situations like that, that's where in holistic sexuality, when you're seeking that balance, you learn to be honest. And that is one of the key factors in having a holistic sexual relationship, is that key word, honesty and trust. Those are two very key words, okay? But because society has put into our heads that we have to be a certain way when it comes to our sexuality, and if a woman who has a husband wants another man, there's something wrong with her, okay?
Yeah.
But if she is true to her sexuality and she is honest with her mate, then that might be a discussion that they need to have in terms of her fulfilling that that will that she has to also be a part of someone else's life. Okay?
Yes.
So we take it from all angles, because all of those divine family structures, we've got a chapter in there on all of them where we talk about what a holistic polygamy situation is, what a holistic polyandry family structure looks like, what a holistic monogamous structure looks like. And, you know, there are some people that believe in polygamy that say that monogamy is a farce. Well, no, that's not true. It is an honorable family structure as well. We don't knock monogamy either. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Because
right.
One thing that I say that monogamy does is monogamy helps you to perfect relationship. Because when you can give full focus to one person and nurture them in the way that they need to be nurtured for their divine purpose, and that one other person can nurture you the way that you need to be nurtured for your divine purpose, and you master that, then you might be ready to bring in another person into the relationship as a part of the family structure. So if a man has not mastered monogamy in terms of support, in terms of mental encouragement, in terms of spiritual nourishment for one woman, then he definitely can't do it for two.
Exactly.
Okay.
And a lot of times they're running out there prematurely to satisfy a lust or desire without being fully, you know, balanced and capable to even do the work.
Absolutely.
You have
absolutely.
Some women doing it too.
Exactly. And so, you know, when we look at it from a holistic point of view, I think everybody that's in a dysfunctional relationship needs to just stop, step back, work on self, and then come back at it. And that's one of the things that we try to help people to understand in holistic sexuality in the book. It's a workbook, so to speak. And it has some nice little activities in there that couples can do as well as individuals can do, and it really makes you look deep inside into what it is that you're experiencing as well as what you desire in a relationship. Okay, I was talking to one young man recently, and he told me, he said, you know, we were talking, it was a consultation, and we were talking about the woman that he had. And I said, okay, let's rate this woman on a scale of 1 to 10, okay? And he said, well, you know, if I look at it like that, she a 10. I said, well, if she's a 10, I need to be talking to her and getting some and taking some notes, okay? So I knew that he was riding on an emotion when he told me that answer, okay?
Yeah.
So what I decided to do is I said, okay, let's talk about her. I said, are you able to be completely open and honest with her?
Uh-huh.
He said no. He said no. I say, okay, so she strikes a fear in you. If you're scared of how somebody will react, that person is not a 10. Because if they are striking fear in you and you have to lie about where you've been or you have to lie about where you're going, then that person just got knocked down a point. I say, okay, she's a 9 now. Now let's continue to talk about it. So we talked, and by the time we finished discussing what it was not whole about that relationship, she was a 3.
Oh, my sister.
And he agreed that she was a 3. I said, okay, now we're talking sense, because I'm sitting here in front of you and we are vibing together, and I can see energetically where your deficiencies are. And you mean to tell me you done attracted somebody that's a 10? Oh, we have to talk about it.
We have some work to do. So I know from that right there, in that questioning and assessment, I know from there you went to him and start talking about some of his areas of where he, you know, needed to work on some things if he attracted a 3.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And he totally agreed that, yep, you know what, I got some work to do. definitely have to hurt. So, you know, it's very interesting when people really get an idea of what holistic sexuality is, they really realize how dysfunctional they've been operating. And it could be really through no fault of their own. It just the conditioning
mm-hmm.
that we go through. You know,
right,
so nobody
right.
is to blame for it. But when you become aware of it, then you seek to change for the better of yourself and those people that you are involved with.
This is a question that I ask my clients usually when I'm doing an assessment and we start really getting down to the nitty-gritty of what it is they need and what, you know, what kind of assistance they're searching for. I always ask, would you date yourself? I said, now go back through your life and go back to where you are now and how you feel and, you know, the different anxieties and fears and trust issues you have and all that. I said, because only you know. Now, would you date yourself? And I think that, like, turns on a light bulb. Like, they sit there for a
mm-hmm.
minute and really think. You know, they don't just jump off. Well, yeah, it's like they really sit and think about that seriously, like, wow, who I am and what I know myself to be, would I really date myself? So that's, you know, that's something that we can all ask ourselves, and that will kind of put us at a gauge of some things that maybe we need to work on as well. So definitely, Dr. Akua, I thank you once again for being here. We're going to go ahead and take a five-minute Honey Soul break. And for those of you who are listening, we want to thank you most definitely for tuning in. We could not do this without you. We appreciate your support. Now, if you'd like to call in, and if you have a question or comment for Dr. Akua Gray, call 323-784-3608, and you can get in on this honey sweet topic. We are our topic this evening is divine lovemaking and sexual healing. We are also discussing Dr. Akua Gray's newest book, Holistic Sexuality, right here on Honey Soul Radio. 5 minutes, stick and stay.
And over and over. enjoy an evening of pleasure with some of our sexiest guests. Honey Soul Radio, for the grown and sexy. Ooh.
Welcome to the sweetest show on internet radio, Honey Soul Radio. I am your hostess, sexual empowerment coach and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva. And in this episode of Honey Soul Radio, the topic is divine lovemaking and sexual healing. We are joined by my very special guest, Dr. Akua Gray. She is a nutriopath, spiritualist, and master teacher. She is the International Operations Director for a Life of Peace and Wellness Institute, Incorporated, which is an international holistic health education and wellness nonprofit organization. She is the author of numerous books, and we are discussing her newest creation, Holistic Sexuality. Welcome back, Dr. Akua. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, thank you. All is well, Tracy. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Now, for those of you who like to call in, please feel free to do so. You can call in by dialing 323-784-3608, and you can get in on this Honey Sweet topic, and also if you have questions or comments for Dr. Akua Gray this evening. Now, we've discussed divine connection to our sexual energy. We have definitely discussed holistic sexuality and freedom, self-awareness and attraction. I would like to discuss how melanin plays a key role is a key component to our sexuality as Africans here in America, and how that's been reduced, the connection has been reduced due to our unhealthy habits, such as our consumption, processed foods, dulling creativity, pornography, dulling our creativity. Distractions, dulling our creativity. So I wanted to discuss how important it is for us to really be in contact with our and feed our melanin content so that we can have a holistic sexual experience.
Okay. When it comes to our melanin, you know, melanin is such a beautiful gift from the Creator. And I say that because every people has melanin, okay? There is just different degrees of melanin. So we often refer to people with a little bit of melanin as being melanin recessive. And we refer to people who have a lot of melanin, such as the original people of the earth, then we are melanin dominant, okay? Now, let me, from a sexual point of view, when we talk about melanin, melanin is a form of protection when it comes to our sexuality. If you were to line up men or women, but I'll say men because their genitals are more visible. If you were to line up men from every culture or every race of people in this world and expose their genitals, you will see that their genitals, no matter what shade or degree of melanin recessive to dominant that they are, their genital areas will be darker than the rest of their bodies, okay? You're familiar with what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. Now, what melanin does for us in terms of our sexual nature, it works in direct relationship with our ability to procreate, okay? Now, what I mean by that is whenever melanin concentrates itself in a particular area of the body, it concentrates itself as a form of protection. So if the genitals of all people have a high concentration of melanin according to their melanin levels, then melanin accumulates in that reproductive system area as a form of protection. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the nipples of women of all different shades, from melanin recessive to melanin dominant, you will find that the nipple, that area that facilitates the life-giving waters to children that have to grow up in this world, what color is that nipple? It's always darker.
Dark.
Than the skin tone of whatever female it is. Okay? So, again, that is the high concentration of melanin that is gathered together as a form of protection. So melanin in itself is a protector of life. It facilitates for the body and protects those areas where that are dependent on life continuing on this planet. So in other words, melanin is that source of protection in the body. Now, you talked about how our melanin is affected by the different lifestyles, okay? And let's talk a little bit about that. Whenever a person abuses the body and the body becomes in balance, melanin, it doesn't matter which degrees of melanin it is, even if a person just has a little bit of it, it's going to try and help to correct the problem. Think of when a person cuts themselves, and whenever a wound is healing, it becomes dark around that wound, right?
Yeah.
So you're looking at a concentration of melanin that happens around that wound. Now, when a person introduces high levels of toxins in their body, such as from cigarette smoking, processed foods, recreational drugs, you know, chemical medications, when they introduce those types of things, melanin goes on the alert. But the very interesting part about melanin, especially in melanin-dominant people, is that because melanin has a binding property, remember, it comes and it accumulates, so it binds to try and protect, it releases the toxins in the body at a very slow rate, okay? And when it releases toxins at a very slow rate, it makes those kinds of behaviors, those kinds of addictions that people have from those unhealthy lifestyle choices even harder to reverse. Those addictions are even harder to, those addictions are even harder to let go of. So the more melanin that a person has, the worse their addictions are to anything, addictions to sugar, addictions to fat, addictions to sex, addictions to chemical drugs, addictions to cigarettes. Those addictions are much more harder to break because of the binding property that melanin has. Melanin is an excellent protector, and then it's kind of like a catch-22 when it comes to being able to shake those addictions, because melanin came to the rescue, and it's binding it, it's holding it, and it's releasing it at a very slow rate, which causes the addictions that we have to be stronger. And that's why it's always a good thing for melanin-dominant people to kind of stay away from those addictive sources, like the drugs and things like that. It's best to stay away from that, because when those addictions occur, let's say, for instance, if a person decided, you know, I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore, and a regular detox from cigarette addiction would be like, what, 6 months or something like that. Well, for melanin dominant people, it would take twice as long. So it would take a year for a melanin dominant person to release that addiction because of the binding property that melanin has. So my point from a holistic point of view is just don't get addicted in the first place, especially if you know those things that are not good for you. So we kind of have to move in that direction. Now, when it comes to the emotional state of addictions, okay, because addictions to sex is an emotional addiction, you know, and it's basically a glandular addiction too, okay? And what I mean by that is that when a person has an orgasm, the glands in the body create that orgasmic state, okay? The releasing of the hormones, the releasing of the enzymes create that vibrational ecstasy that we experience when we have an orgasm during sex. So some people actually become hormonally, okay, addicted to sex because of that orgasmic reaction that happens in the body. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so in order to be able to move from that, again, it requires a healthy state. Okay. You will rarely find a person who is whole and healthy that's addicted to sex. Okay. Because they have balanced the spiritual aspect of themselves, the physical, the emotional, and the mental aspects of themselves. But those people that are still dealing with imbalances are the ones that you will find that will more than likely be addicted to sex and the orgasmic and ecstatic feeling that sex gives us. Okay,
so when you were saying about the hormonal addiction, what I understood with that is that the release of the hormones and the endorphins and from the glandulars and just that chemical change that happens during orgasm that sets the body also to become addicted to that chemical change.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, when we think about those types of addictions, sometimes people will not admit that they have those addictions because, again, they've been taught to be ashamed of their sexuality, you see? And so, you know, when they sit down in front of people, you know, they put their best face forward and, you know, pretending like they don't have a problem, but in actuality they do.
And something else that I do recognize, Dr. Akua, is that when a lot of times when people have addictions, I recognize that they are attempting to fill a void. So when they move from one addiction and they feel they may have conquered that addiction, many times they replace it with another addiction, and I'm finding that to be something that's common.
I definitely agree. Yes,
okay.
I definitely agree, because you will find people going from one type of relationship to another type of relationship to another type of relationship, and it's always something.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think of it from a sexual point of view, you know, people do a lot of, those people that are suffering from those types of addictions, they do a lot of sexual experimentation. So those are those kind of people that find swinging appealing. Those are those kinds of people that find orgies appealing. You know, and that, again, is just playing into the sexual dysfunctionality that people walk with on a daily basis, even when they think they might be normal in their sexual behavior, because everybody else is swinging, everybody else is, you know, doing these things, and they may think, you know, well, maybe it's all right, but it's not.
Okay. I also want to make reference to, as I'm working on myself and I'm dealing with my own idiosyncrasies, and also in some of the work and the services I provide, I recognize that our culture in general has just become very, very low in vibration when it comes to sex. And with that, I recognize, and this comes with age and wisdom too, that there's no such thing. Well, there is a such thing as casual sex, but really there is no such thing as just casual sex, because there is a spiritual contract that happens. There is a spiritual agreement that happens. There is a spiritual and soul connection that happens. You know, each time you have a sexual experience with another person. So that's why I make reference, there is no such thing as casual sex. And I'm recognizing that many of us, including myself, you know, like I said, as I've done this work, that we have a lot of these differences that have been imparted with us because of risky sexual behavior. And so I wanted to just talk a little bit about that, about the lust of sex and feeling that it's just a casual thing, and, you know, we just going to get a booty call and we just going to hit this and we're going to do this tonight. However, there are different residues, different issues, different emotions, and there's just some different connections that are happening there that may not be recognized in the physical, but definitely comes out at some point. So can we discuss that?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. There is a self-evaluation section in my book, Holistic Sexuality. And the title of that section is Evaluating What You Need to Change. And it is a series of questions that people are asked to really look at their sexual history and to really speak honest truth to themselves on where the possibility of change needs to happen for themselves. Because remember, like I said, a person has to get themselves, their own self together first before they can be any good to anybody else. All right.
Right.
We've been operating in our communities on a dysfunctional level since before slavery. Because if you know anything about the different ways that people interacted with each other, even before we came over here on the slave ship, there was some dysfunctionality happens. You know, I know that oftentimes we like to glorify our African past, but when I look at the way that relationships are and the history of relationships as they are told in what I see in Africa today, because I actually live in Ghana, it was happening way before the slave ship, the dysfunctionality in relationships. Now, I'm not talking about in terms of the family structure and how our family structure was destroyed, but I'm talking about in terms of how men and women related to each other. It's been happening for a while. So in evaluating what you need to change, you know, a person really needs to look at their past sexual experiences. And they need to find out what made them afraid to trust. Okay?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that they need to look at. Then if they've suffered from some abuse, how has that abuse really affected the way that they involve themselves in their sexual relationships today? You know, abuse and trust has a lot to do with people choosing homosexuality today, okay?
Yes, right.
Also, in looking at evaluating the change, a person really has to look at how they feel about the frequency of their sexual encounters, okay? And when a person is in a relationship and they feel like they're under pressure to perform sexually, especially with new partners, okay, that's something that a person shouldn't have to deal with on a mental and emotional level. But most people, when they first get into a sexual relationship, they want to prove that they can have sex well. And that too is a part of sexual dysfunctionality that people need to change. So when it comes to looking at your own self and evaluating where you are in terms of, you know, what your body is doing and what you have done with your body, it really need to step back and take a look at why are you jealous? Why are you possessive? You know,
why?
Did you learn that behavior from the people that you learned, that you saw in relationship? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people will just mimic the behavior that they've seen. I mean, we know it. Boys imitating their father's behavior, girls imitating their mother's behavior, you know, girls being not happy with male relationships because their father was too hard on them, you know, all of those kinds of things. So that really stopping and evaluating where you need to change is important in moving forward in a positive light in your relationships. I hope that that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. But I also, you know, wanted to speak on that spiritual connection that we are, you know, having, and we're not necessarily aware of it a lot of times. You know, there's definitely a spiritual connection. There's an integration, you know, when you are having sexual relations. There is, and that's why I said it came with some age and some wisdom. You know, there's no such thing as just casual sex. You know, so now,
right. Go ahead.
I want to ask. I know we discussed this previously, and this, you know, this part right here, I was really into during this part of training with you. And it's sexual meditation and ascension. And, you know, you have a lot of people now who are practicing, you know, sex magic. They're practicing tantra. You know, they're getting into, you know, the power sex and, you know, all of these different sexual modalities that bring them, you know, self-awareness and sexual self-awareness, some kind of sexual enlightenment. But just going back to basics, let's explain your definition of being in that sexual meditative space and place and how we can get there and ascend.
Okay, going back to the basics, I want to make sure I understand your question. So are you saying being able to come from a point of view where there is, where it's not a matter of looking at it from a spiritual or emotional or mental point of view? Are you thinking of just the physical?
No. No, when I say getting back to basics, I basically mean without of the different modalities everybody is coming with. Like I said, they have tantra, they have the dog sex, they have the, you know, they have all these different, you know, classes. I mean, of course, it's good to take classes and be educated on stuff, but I'm saying, you know, like they have these different secret, you know, teachings and this and that. Okay, all that's good, but just going back to when Billy loves Sue.
Well, you know,
love Trina. You know, just
quiet. quiet as it's kept. Billy, Sue, Jamal, and Trina was dysfunctional too. Yeah, we can call that a simpler times, but they had some problems.
Okay. So
I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to go back a little bit further than that.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go back a little bit further because this is the question I'm going to pose before that question. And that
is, go ahead.
What does food, mental, emotional, and spiritual health have to do with good sex? Let's go there first. Then we'll get into the sexual meditation.
All right. So when we talk about food affecting the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual aspects of sex. Wow, that's a powerful question, sister. Thank you for that. Ooh, let's kind of break that down a little bit because that's a whole college course in itself.
Don't I know?
Yes. So when we look at how food affects our sexuality, again, you know, just looking from a what would be a balanced point of view, the foods that you eat raise or even lower the vibration of your body. And a high or low vibration of the body is going to directly affect your ability to procreate. And that high or low vibration in the body based on the proper foods that you should eat, you know, foods that are nutritious, which are the foods that we should be eating, okay, instead of nutritionally depleted foods as we find in the processed foods and a lot of the cooked foods, as well as the foods that are made with animal products and also animal meat-based products, okay? Those are what we call low-vibration foods. So if a person is indulging in low-vibration foods, then what they put into their sexual relationships is also going to be of a low vibration. And when people are also eating at a higher level or a higher frequency, such as in live foods, vegan foods, foods that are naturally sweet instead of processed sugars, then they're going to be vibrating sexually at a higher level of vibration. They'll have more energy, you know, that will cut out the minute man that will, and you know what I'm speaking of when I say minute man, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
so that will cut out.
Dysfunction.
Right.
Yeah.
That will cut out the minute man concept. Eating foods on a higher vibration will take away the unwanted bacteria that is experienced in sexual exchange, and it will be a much more sweeter and pleasant experience for the senses when a person eats at a more higher vibration, okay? Because you know, there is one comedian that we used to have, Bernie Mac. He talked about Badoosie. Okay, I don't know. And Badoosie, that don't sound like
no.
That smells good to me.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, and I can imagine that the Badoosie smell had some meat and processed food, macaroni and cheese and stuff mixed up there in it. Okay.
McDonald's.
So we don't want to smell like Badoosie when
right.
we go into a spiritual experience like sex. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's what we look at in terms of food. It increases the energy, it increases the health of the reproductive system, and it makes it a more pleasant experience for the senses. It adds liveliness to the resources of our reproduction system, like our sperm, like our semen and our vaginal secretions. It adds life and it adds more viability to those life-giving fluids that we exchange during sex, okay? So that's the importance of food and sex. Now, when it comes to the importance of food and our mental relationship with sex, okay, when we are able to, again, eat on a higher vibration, then we are able to have more clear thoughts. We're able to remember things, you know. So if you told a lie, you're going to be able to remember that lie if you're eating well. Okay, as opposed to if you're not eating well and your brain tissue in the memory section is starting to deteriorate because of that high acid state in your body, then more than likely he's going to catch you in a lie, she's going to catch you in a lie eventually, because you're not nourishing your body in the way that it should. So from a mental point of view, we want to nurture, again, with whole healthy foods so that our minds can be clear, our minds can be powerful, so that our minds can vibe with each other. You know, it's very interesting. I've been married for 26 years.
Congratulations.
And thank you very much. And in those 26 years, you know, it when my husband and I, we have reached a level of vibration to where we just vibe with each other on all levels.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what I'm thinking about mentally comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And sometimes what he's thinking about mentally comes out of my mouth. And we both kind of vibe on that, because it's like, you know, we have gotten to the point to where we can say, you know, I know what you're thinking, and tell each other what it is that we're thinking and be correct
uh-huh.
with it too. So I know that that comes with time, that comes with experience, to where you develop a certain sense or a certain aspect of telepathy between the two of you, and it's like you don't even have to open your mouth to communicate on a mental level. And believe me, that is a very beautiful place to be, because, you know, some people experience that naturally also. And what they will do is, you know, a person can be in another city or a state and somebody's thinking something, and you know that old kind of thing where the telephone rings and you say, I was just thinking about you.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So it's kind of like that kind of thing, except on a more higher level. Okay.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to food and the spiritual aspect, when we are eating animals, we are eating death. Okay. And when we are eating death, then death comes from death.
Okay.
So we are killing our bodies in a way that deteriorates our sexual nature. Because any time a person suffers from a food-related disease that they have to take a medication for, they are depleting their ability to sexually function properly. Because most medications will alter the ability of the reproductive system to function properly. Okay? Men will not be able to maintain erections. The vaginal walls of the walls of the vagina, the secretions will decrease. So those food-related diseases that affect the body will cause a decrease in our sexuality as well, especially if you have to treat those food-related diseases with a medication.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not good. However, if once you know better, you do better, and you begin to correct those things that you are doing from a food point of view that is causing your body to deteriorate, and you're able to reverse that, then you can also reverse that aspect of sexual dysfunctionality as well.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting.
I think that was it. Okay.
Okay. Thank Thank you so much. And for those of you who are listening, we want to thank you for joining us right here on Honey Soul Radio. If you have a question or a comment for Dr. Akua Gray, please call 323-784-3608, and you can get in on this honey sweet topic. We are discussing divine lovemaking and sexual healing right here on Honey Soul Radio with Dr. Akua Gray. We need you to stick and stay 5 minutes, Honey Soul Radio.
To your heart without breaking your skin. No one has the power to hurt you like your kin. Kept it inside, didn't tell no one else. Didn't even wanna admit it to yourself. And now your chest burns and your back aches from 15 years of holding the pain. You only have yourself to blame if you continue to live this way.
Get it together.
You wanna heal your body.
Get it together.
You have to heal your heart. Whatsoever you sow, you will reap.
Get it together.
Future ahead of me, that's what they say. I'd be starving if I ate all the lies they fed. 'Cause I've been redeemed from your anguish and pain. A miracle child, I'm floating on a cloud. 'Cause the words that come from your mouth, you're the first to hear. Speak words of beauty and you will be there.
Get it together.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
blackcruisetravel.com. Whether you cruise often or are looking for a great first-time cruising experience, blackcruisetravel.com has just what you need. We list all sorts of themed cruises, rhythm and blues, singles cruises, gospel cruises. We're also your source for the best free travel tips and discounts. Log on to Black Cruise Travel or tweet us at Black Cruise Trip.
Tuesday evenings have never been sweeter. Honey Soul Radio. Welcome.
Welcome back to the sweetest show on Internet Radio, Honey Soul Radio. I am your hostess, sexual empowerment coach and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva, and we are having a phenomenal show this evening. We are joined by Dr. Akua Gray, naturopath, spiritualist, and master teacher. She is the author of numerous books, the International Operations Director for a Life of Peace and Wellness Institute, Incorporated, which is an international holistic health education and wellness nonprofit organization. And we are discussing her newest book, Holistic Sexuality. Now, we've discussed divine lovemaking, sexual healing, divine connection to sexual energy, spiritual manifestation. We've discussed casual sex, holistic sexuality, freedom, sexual self-awareness, melanin, spiritual manifestation. Now I'm going to speak a little bit on sexual reflexology. I know I've been studying that a little bit about how the phallus connects to the yoni and the yoni connects to the phallus. And with that, there is definitely a synergy in points that give off healing one to the other. So, Dr. Akua Gray, we welcome you back again.
Thank you very much. I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Good. And we'd like to talk a little about sexual reflexology. And can you explain to our listeners what that is and what that means?
Okay. Absolutely. Every part of the body has nerve endings that are relative to the internal organs of the body. And sexual reflexology is where the nerve endings that are relative to the lungs, the heart, the spleen, the liver, the kidneys, are a part of the skin and also the internal walls of the vagina. I would definitely say if someone is interested in it, I mean, there are 101 books on sexual reflexology. All of them give a really nice, basic explanation of what it is, and pictures. You are able to see exactly what I'm talking about if you can't necessarily envision what I'm speaking of. But with sexual reflexology, what that does is it assists couples that are practicing sexual healing in helping to heal each other, okay? And with sexual reflexology, if your mate is having issues with their, let's say, their lungs, then sexual reflexology relates to the depth of penetration that needs to happen during sexual intercourse in order to stimulate the nerve endings for the regeneration process of the lungs, okay, for example. Now, because most of the time people, when they have sex, they kind of lose their mind and they're not really going to concentrate on depth of penetration. I always like to generalize sexual reflexology so that couples kind of just have an idea of what it is that they are doing. So we look at sexual reflexology from an upper, middle, and lower point of view, okay? And then also a full body point of view, okay? So let's say if your partner is suffering from headaches, they can't sleep well, they're having eye problems, there is a lot of mental stress going on, and they need to relax themselves or they need to try and regenerate themselves just based on what it is that they're experiencing. Well, with sexual reflexology, then the focus of sexual penetration would be on the upper parts of the vagina, so that would be like going into the vagina very deeply. Or if the woman was going to control the flow of the sexual activity in sexual healing, then her concentration of grasping with her vaginal muscles, and hopefully, you know, women have learned to do that, to use those muscles in the vagina as a part of the sexual healing process with the partner. So that contraction of the muscles and that tightening of the vagina would focus around the head of the penis, okay? Now, when you look at it from a midsection point of view, you know, if your partner is suffering from high blood pressure, respiratory issues, issues with the digestive system such as the stomach, issues with the liver or the kidneys, then the depth of penetration would be more towards the middle section of the vagina and the middle section of the penis, okay? Now, in the lower sections, which deals with, you know, the intestines, the reproductives, if your partner is having issues with their legs or their pelvic area, okay, then it would be the lower part of the penis, which is more towards the groin area, or the lower part of the vagina, which is more towards the vaginal opening area, okay?
Okay.
Now, also in reflexology, if a person is having like an autoimmune issue or inflammation in the body or hormonal imbalances or circulation problems, then that would be full body penetration. So the depth of penetration would span the entire length of the penis or either the entire length of the vagina. And, you know, using sexual reflexology, especially in holistic sexuality, elevates the consciousness of the couple to a higher level of physical care for each other, okay? So being able to provide that sexual medicine to your partner empowers the healer inside of you. So sexual reflexology is a very serious art form when it comes to those people that have reached that level of consciousness that says, you know, not only am I going to have sex, but I'm going to have sex so that I'm able to regenerate my partner's body. You know, yes. One of my favorite sexual positions, because sometimes I actually have to recondition my lungs, especially when I time travel from the Africa to the U.S., U.S. to Africa, my lungs always seem to have to go through an adjustment period. And I use sexual reflexology during that time of adjustment to help with the stress that my lungs go through with time travel. And, you know, with sexual reflexology, if I feel that a little bit of congestion coming on, get into those sexual healing positions and use that sexual reflexology, the stress that I felt gone by the time morning wakes up, less than 24 hours. Okay? Mm-hmm. And another aspect of sexual reflexology that is very beneficial in the sexual healing process is mediumistic trance, sexual mediumistic trance. And in sexual mediumistic trance, this is where couples are able to access the spiritual aspect of who they are during the sexual encounter. Okay.
Now you're answering my first question before we went to break. That's what I was talking about. So see, we flowed right on into it naturally.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful.
Okay.
So when we talk about sexual mediumistic trance, everybody has been there, but most people don't know that they have gone there. Okay.
Yes.
So let me kind of give an example of sexual mediumistic trance. Sexual mediumistic trance is when a couple comes together, the mood, with some soft music, they have some candles lit, they've got a little aromatherapy happening in the diffuser, some lavender and some honeysuckle and some frangipani going on to kind of enliven the senses and activate those hormones through the aphrodisiacs of the essential oils. And the mood is just set, it's wonderful. The beginning acts of the kissing and the hugging and the touching happens, and then the couple gets into the act of sex. And during the act of sex, the feeling is there. Then all of a sudden, you don't know when it happens, but you no longer hear the music. You no longer smell the scents of the aromatherapy in the room. You no longer even see the ceiling that you were looking at a few minutes ago. It's gone too, okay? And the only thing that you hear is the sound of your mate, and the
yeah.
only thing that you feel is what is happening in your sexual organs and the touch of your mate's body on your body. That is sexual mediumistic trance. Now, when a couple enters into sexual mediumistic trance, on a holistic level, that is a time to impress upon the subconscious mind what they want to see manifest in their lives. So when I coach on holistic sexuality, I tell couples when they feel like they enter that semi-conscious state of trance during sex, they may just say, blessings of a positive blessings to their mate in their mind. Okay, so if you're in the act of sexual healing and you want your mate's heart to be stronger because they've been suffering from some heart conditions or some stress in the respiratory system, then when you enter in sexually mediumistic trance, you may just very lightly within your mind say, you know, I'm sending you light of healing love and power so that your lung and your hearts may be whole. And when you send that type of vibration, the universe listens, because sexual mediumistic trance is a very powerful state. And in that state, you are actually able to, again, affect the subconscious and to activate the power of the universe to facilitate physical reactions in your life through sexual mediumistic trance. You know, like you said, it's kind of like that secret thing that they had going on a few years ago of activating your thoughts, but I don't think that they talked about trance. But when you take it into trance and you impress upon that subconscious, it really creates a reciprocity of action in your life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps in the healing processes that you and your mate are going through, or mates. You know, we don't want to leave out those that have multiple family structures, okay?
Right.
Yeah, so it really helps in that as well. So that sexual mediumistic trance is a powerful tool that we can use as a part of our sexual healing.
That's beautiful, beautiful. And I see now that I didn't necessarily word the question in a way where you understood what I was saying, but that's where I was going, and that's why I said getting back to basics, you know, because I know everybody has that ability, you know, like you said,
mm-hmm.
many of us have a sit and don't necessarily know that we're experiencing. We don't necessarily know what it is we're experiencing. All we know is to feel good, you know.
Right, right.
Right. So that's why I was saying getting back to basics, not necessarily, you know, getting, you know, initiated into tantra or the power stuff, but I was just talking about, what our bodies and our souls and our spirits do naturally during that connection and that time of sexual integration. And that was beautifully, beautifully stated. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now I want to discuss, okay, those of us who may be in some sexual dysfunction, and we know it, and we may even be, you know, denying it to ourselves from time to time, or some of us may even be admitting it. Okay, I don't, you know, I'm unbalanced. I got some dysfunction going on. I got some addiction. What are some things we can start to do today to start our own sexual healing?
Well, again, that kind of takes us to that evaluating where you are. Okay.
Okay.
And I'll just give you just a few little some of those questions. You know, I mentioned earlier about honesty and trust. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at honesty and trust, then one thing that you can work on is being totally honest in your relationships with your mates. And if you are not able to first be totally honest in everything, then that's really where you need to start, because anything else outside of honesty is not going to work.
Right.
Okay. So that would be, I would say, the very first place that you should start. Are you able to talk with your mate about who you really are on a sexual level? Are you able to admit to yourself who you are on a sexual level? You know, are you a woman that desires more than one mate? Okay. Are you a man that desires more than one mate? Are you a man that you truly believe in your soul that it's only one woman that you need and it's only one woman that you want? Okay? So being able to be honest with yourself is really the very first step. If you know that you are dealing with sexual dysfunctionalities, it would be good to seek out the advice of counsel that can actually help you if you know that you are having sexual dysfunctionalities that interrupt your flow of life, okay? If you're dealing with sexual addictions like addictions to pornography, you know, addictions to just kind of sleeping around with everybody, you know, delving into homosexuality and things like that, and you know that's really not where you want to be, but because you know, everybody else is doing it or it's present, you know, you just go ahead and indulge, although every time you do it, you feel sick afterwards. You know, I've had many clients that we have had to deal with just all kinds of sexual dysfunctionalities that people put themselves through. And just trying to find out who they are sexually and to get over the conditioning that people have gone through. You know, one thing that I teach in holistic sexuality and also in the book is that sex is not evil. It is not bad.
Right.
You know, and I do not subscribe to those religious factions that say that sex is evil and it's a part of the downfall of man and all of that kind of stuff. No, that's somebody wrote that in a book, okay? Because if the creator created the vagina and the creator created the penis, and when those two things get together, you have a blissful state of ecstasy that brings new life and new souls into the world. You cannot tell me that that is wrong.
Right.
And that the creator made a mistake in creating these entities within us. And then it's bad. And you know, I remember seeing one of these movies, I think it was one of those Tom Hanks movies, where the man, whenever he did something wrong or thought about sex or something, he went and go beat himself. You know what? That is serious foolishness.
Yes.
You know, and thinking about how people who take a vow of celibacy, they castrate themselves. What kind of foolishness is that?
That is
living totally outside of the laws of nature. And
yeah, out of balance.
Who made and what made nature? The Creator made nature.
Yes.
So
the same Creator that created
to,
us. So.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So no one can convince me, I don't care what religious affiliation you're in, that sex is evil and that sex is wrong. No.
And you,
what
and
is
you know,
evil
I
and what is wrong. Mm-hmm.
I say everything in nature reproduces. Everything is born out of sex, even the soul.
Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, we just will not tolerate and perpetrate those kinds of lies anymore. You know, so, you know, the churches and the mosque and all of those people, they just going to have to get over it and stop lying to people. And you have to say that with truth.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
yes.
if you think about what happened in those Christian crusades and those jihads and things like
mm-hmm.
that, there was a lot of sexual torture that took place during those times, and it perpetuated a generational amount of sexual abuse among people all over this world based on these religious things that happened.
Right.
And so
yeah.
it's now time to get out of that and to really look at balancing sex the way that it was intended according to the divine laws of nature and not the laws of man.
Okay. Beautiful,
mm-hmm.
beautiful. Now, we're coming down to the end of the show. We have our 15-minute period. We
okay.
did have a caller who had a question, and I was going to let them in, but they've released themselves from the phone line. And once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. Last 15 minutes, if you do have a question or comment for Dr. Akua Gray, call 323-784-3608. Or for those of you in the chat room, you could go ahead and put that in the chat room within the last 15 minutes. But now, let's tell us more about you and what you're doing. You have a institute of life, of peace and wellness, a holistic health education and wellness nonprofit organization. You have many, many books. You are a vegan. You have 20 years of outstanding education. You hold degrees and certifications in many different things, telecommunications, education, naturopathy, metaphysics, hypnotherapy, iridology, Reiki, shiatsu, colon hydrotherapy, and African nutritional science. So what's on the agenda? What's going on with you? What's the newest thing, the book, and you know, who's Dr. Akua Gray?
Well, to answer that question in short, and then I'll elaborate, Dr. Akua Gray is a divine physical manifestation of the Creator. Okay? So that is how I see myself, as an energetic aspect in physical form of the Creator that has brought this soul here to manifest purpose in the form of healing during this space and time, okay? So that's me in short. Now, to elaborate on the work that I've been sent here to do by the Creator, it is to help to educate those who are ready to receive a heightened level of consciousness. And I'm perfectly clear that I am not here for the man, okay? Because a lot of people that I sit down and talk to, some of the things that are said, they will never agree with. And I'm perfectly all right with that.
Okay? Right.
Because what I understand in terms of my purpose here is there is a sector of souls that are present on this earth today that are in need of guidance and that I can learn from also, that are keepers of the balance of energy in this universe. And I call them light workers, okay? So those light workers that are ready to come for a certain level of enlightenment, a certain level of regeneration when it comes to the mental, spiritual, and emotional faculties, those are the people that usually come through a Life of Peace Wellness Institute, okay? When I first started this work, I meditated and I spoke with the energies that be, and I asked for seekers. I asked for those people who are ready to receive what it is that they need to receive so that then they can go out and not only teach others, but teach a million others.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how they say, oh, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. There's war everywhere. We're nearing the end of time. That's a lie, okay? It truly is, because this world was created on a balance. And as long as light workers are encouraging the light in other light workers, this world will never be out of balance,
okay?
And so, you know, when they talk about wars and, you know, everybody's fighting, I say, well, okay, well, name me who's fighting. Now, we got thousands of countries in this world, okay? Now, tell me who's fighting. And they can only name one. I haven't had anybody to get past their 10 fingers on who's fighting. So you mean to tell me that these seven countries that are fighting right now is the world, okay? No, that's not true. So when we talk about being able to be a part of that energy that our elders started, our Dr. Paul Gosses and our Jewel Pukrams and our Queen of Fuas and our Dr. Whitakers and things like that, and being able to continue that light work is a part of why I am here and what I am doing. A Life of Peace Wellness Institute has online classes as well as in-person classes. We are building a retreat center for the children of the diaspora in the central region of Ghana, and it is a retreat center for those that are in need of a healing retreat, a sabbatical. They can come to and they can be nourished and nurtured. We are still in the building process. And so when that is ready, that will be open to the public as well. Here in the United States, we have several instructors around the country that facilitate the classes and the learning programs that we offer at a Life of Peace Wellness Institute. In terms of, I'm just constantly growing, so it's really hard to tell where I'm going, because whenever the heart says move this direction, I move. Whenever the mind says move this direction, I move. And so wherever spirit leads me is where I go. So what's next, I don't know. But I recently just, I'm in the process of completing my midwifery training. That was my training for last year that I embarked upon. So I am now a lay midwife, and when I'm able to finish up what I'm doing in that particular program, I will be a certified midwife. And in the past, I never thought about being a midwife. I knew about it, but my clients began to ask me, we need a spiritual midwife. We need someone that's going to bring our babies into the world in an environment that supports that soul and not just the physical body. So I listened. The Creator brought forth a program that was good for the time frame that I have, and the hospital that was in Ghana that provided the platform to deliver babies came through. And so I became a midwife. So the midwifery service that we will provide at A Life of Peace, which will include midwives as well as holistic doulas.
Okay.
It's called Divine Ascension. So everyone can be looking out for that. And we do international travel. Okay, so we are midwives and doulas of the world. So, you know, if someone wanted to come and they wanted to have an elephant circle birth, or they wanted to have an orgasmic birth, or they wanted to have a lotus birth, or they wanted to have a family circle birth, then we can come during that time of birthing and actually provide that spiritual vortex for mothers
okay.
and families to give both in. So that's where
beautiful.
We are in terms of immediate.
Okay.
And
now, Dr.
also
Akula.
I will be mm-hmm. and also let me just note that I will be
okay.
Touring with Holistic Sexuality for the rest of the summer and the fall. So
yes.
checking my website and looking at the events, you will be able to see where I will be in the different locations around the country, which includes Atlanta, Chicago, the major cities, New York, Boston, let me see where else, Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas, all of those different places. So just check the website. So if you
okay.
would like to come out to the free lectures, and they are all free lectures and book signings, I would love to see you there.
Now, for those of you who are listening, you can check out the holistic classes, training, education, and certifications at A Life of Peace and Wellness. That's www.alifeofpeace.org. A Life of Peace, all one word, .org. Also, you can purchase Holistic Sexuality and learn more about Dr. Akula Gray at www.DrAkulaGray.com. That's right. Now we have a caller in the 954 who has a comment or question for Dr. Akula. How are you doing this evening?
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Akula. C. Sherelle. Just want to say a great talk, and I'm looking forward to getting you.
Oh, peace, C. Sherelle. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Sixes, long time no hearing your voice. Great, great.
Yes, it has been. Thank you very much for listening and calling in. Wonderful.
Blessings.
Yes, thank you, for
thank
joining
you so
us
much.
This. Thank you. Peace.
Thank you.
And for those of you who are listening in tonight, yes, we want to thank all of you for tuning in. And most definitely, we want to thank Dr. Akula. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Akula.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Tracy. It's been a long time coming. I have followed your show, and I have really enjoyed listening to the playbacks of you and your co-host, and it has been just wonderful. So it is indeed a pleasure and an honor for me to be here with you as well.
Well, thank you. And I just want to tell you that it's a honor for me to even be one of your students. I mean, you have taught me so much in just such a short period of time. And something that you've taught me that you don't even realize because, you know, you teach on, you know, your educational level and certifications and in holistic health and wellness. But something that I've learned from you is just to be a little softer.
Yeah,
I pay attention to, you know, your mannerisms and your behavior, and I noticed that you have this really soft sensuality about yourself, and it was something that was attractive to me. So it was something that I wanted to also hone on and kind of learn how to do and be able to use that sensuality as one of my skills as well. So thank you.
Oh, it is received, and I receive that. You are welcome. And as we say in Ghana, Akwaba, you are welcome.
Okay, Akwaba. And can we expect you in the near future to join us again on Honey Soul Radio?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Just call me anytime.
Okay, thank you so much. And once again, thank all of you for joining us this evening. Join Honey Soul Radio Tuesday, July 29th, 2014, for another Sweet Honey Soul Edition. You don't want to miss it. For all of your fun-loving boudoir accessories, visit us online, honeyloveromance.com. Fan us on Facebook, facebook.com/honeysoulradio, and add a little honey to your flavor. You can also read sexy, honeyloveromancemagazine.com, and live in the sensual and love in the delicious. Now remember, self-love is the basis for all healthy, loving relationships. Until we meet again, we wish you love, sex, and soul. Good night.